Welcome to the Sunny Hill podcast. This message was recorded at our Poole campus. For more information about service times and locations, please visit sunnyhill.church.
A lot of times people begin by trying to say, this is the end of the sermon. This is where I want to get to. And so I've got a different end in mind today. Where I'm trying to get you in the sermon is that when you walk out of this room, you are angry. Like, I want you to walk out that you are angry. Not that you're sorry. Not that you think to yourself, well, you know, I'm pretty sorry. I hope to do something different. You need to walk out of this room and you need to be angry. And so some of what I say today may make you angry. That's the point. Some of what I may to say may rile you up and get you to go, that makes me angry. That's the point. And if you walk out this room and you go, do you know what? Today, Richard made me so angry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what I'm going after. We're in the last of the Smashing It series. And have you enjoyed the series? I think it's been a great series. So practical, so helpful. And the last kind of 2 weeks, and I get to wrap up part two, we're looking at how to smash it in your finances. And hopefully over the course of this morning, you're going to understand why I need you to get a little bit angry. And last week, Dom did a great, great job, if you were here. And if you weren't, do listen to the podcast, of just setting up point one and two of how to smash it in your finances. All the time, every week, we've had the same first point. You've got to spend time with Jesus. This is key. This is key. When you get into the Bible tells us that it will cut us open. The words of God will change and transform us. It is impossible to keep reading the words of God over and over and over again and then go, what I'm going to do is think it's telling me to do the opposite. Normally what we do, and I do this often, is we skip over those parts we don't want to hear. Don't be a glutton. Let's ignore that. Because if I sit reading don't be a glutton, it shifts something in me, which means I need to, you know, not be doing that. Not seeing how strong are these buttons. Warning in the first couple of rows, this may pop open at any time. I don't know what to tell you. Be strong. It is impossible to keep ongoingly spending time every day with Jesus and not to be changed and transformed. No matter what's going on in your life, the answer is spend time with Jesus. It will change you. Honestly, it will. And it may not always be what you want, but it will change you. Point one. Second point was first fruits. Us beginning to get serious about our tithe, our giving at Sunny Hill. These two points are so important because God doesn't say you should get serious about your giving because I'm really reliant on it and if you don't do it, I can do nothing. But rather what God says is you should get serious about your giving because of this one secret. And it's a secret that's been dawning on me for about the last 6 months. And this is it. Listen carefully because you may have been a Christian for 40 years and never realized this. An unlimited God with all of the power in the world to do everything he wants to, chooses to limit himself to you. You got to hear this. An unlimited God with all of the power in the world who could do anything he wants to, choose to limit himself to you. Does God want to pour blessing out on your life? I believe it to be true. Does God want to pour blessing out on Sunny Hill? I believe it to be true. Does God want to go, you think the stores are full? You've seen nothing yet. I believe it to be true. But you know what God does? He goes, ball is now in your court. What will you do? Man, this is why you've got to do first fruits. You've got to start to tithe. Because tithing is not about God. It's about you. God isn't in need of your tithe. He owns it all anyway. He can pretty much do what he likes. He needs you. And he's going, do you know what? Everything you want, I will limit to you. To you. Give, and you'll be blown away. Hold back, and you'll see what happens. That humbles me, an all-powerful God looking at me and going, hey, Richard, I will limit myself to you. I don't want to be a block. I don't. Spend time with Jesus. Point number two. Man, I've got no better language. Sort out your tithe. I've been sitting in budget meetings for the last 2 months at Sunny Hill. we can't increase our budgets because we need you guys to get serious about this. We honestly do. Me and my wife tithe by a standing order, and we review that and increase it. And we make sure that the standing order, this wasn't part of my sermon, but I'm going to go there anyway, that the standing order that we put in is 10%. And I was speaking to Dom about this week because I had this epiphany. What happens if we stopped seeing the buckets as buckets to put offering in and started to say, these aren't my offering, this is my generosity? What happens if me and my wife said, we will do our 10% faithful commitment to God as standing order, because it's not ours anyway, just take it, God, before the first of the month, get it out the account, because I don't have to worry about it. But what I put in the bucket is my generosity. And what happens if the buckets could outstrip our standing orders every day, every Sunday? Surely it should. Surely it should. We have to hold budget lines steady. It becomes difficult to release new ministry, because we as a church need to begin to get this sorted out in us, in me, in you. You may not like it, and I'm okay with that, and that may make you angry, and I'm okay with that. Over 2,000 times, God and Jesus talk about money in the Bible. He speaks more about money than he does love. God gets it. This thing, we got to get a handle on. We've got to get a handle on. Not just you, I've got to get a handle on. Because if we don't get a handle on this thing, it's the game. So there's two myths I want to break about money as we get into today's sermon. This is the first myth. Dom touched on it last week. I nearly said Gom. I don't know what's going on with that. Dom touched on this last week. Myth one, and if you're writing notes, I'd encourage you to write it. If you agree, say, hey, I agree. If you disagree, boo me. But it's good to just have a little bit of feedback as we're going along. Oh, it's already started. Just booing me for no sake. That's it, Hattie. Sorry, when are you leaving? That can't come quick enough. The first myth is this. Money is not good. Money is not bad. There is no moral value to money. You have to understand this. Money is what we call amoral. Amoral doesn't mean that it has a moral. It means it's got no moral. It is just a tool. This clicker isn't good, isn't bad. There is no moral attached to this clicker. It is a tool. What I do with this clicker will assign a moral value to it. I can use it to click on slides, good. Or I can use it to stab Hattie with, bad. Or depending how that goes, boo. Already it's gone down. I mean, that's what, there we can bring it on. I said I wanted to make you angry. It's probably not the areas I want you to get angry in, but it's happening. So money isn't good or bad, it's amoral. It's amoral. What you do with money, gives it its moral value. And if you want to smash it in your finances, you need to do good things with your money. That's the simple truth. Here's the second myth. Smashing it in your finances has nothing to do with money or wealth. It has everything to do with behavior and lifestyle. You see, when we go after money, we're not actually going after your money. What we've got to go after, what you need to go after in your life, is your behavior and lifestyle. It's your behavior and lifestyle. Evander Holyfield, who's a boxer, earned $250 million as a heavyweight champion. 2008, had to foreclose on his house, went bankrupt. Mike Tyson earned over $400 million. That's nearly $500 million. 2003, declared bankruptcy. Kenny Anderson, who plays basketball in the NBA, despite earning $63 million salary when he walked out of his NBA team, he had $0 to his name. Cheryl Swoops, who also played basketball, she earned $50 million. And in 2004, in the middle of a season, with this money contracted, had to declare bankruptcy. Your money has nothing to do with what's in your bank and got everything to do with your lifestyle and your behavior. And if you want to smash it in your finances, you've got to look at that thing and not worry about your bank balance. You've got to get into your lifestyle and your behavior. A man was caught trying to carry a large sack one day into heaven. He got stabbed at the gates, and St. Peter said to the man, "What are you doing? What's in the bag?" And the man said, "All of the gold bars I could fit in, I've stuck in this sack and brought with me." And St. Peter shook his head and he said, "I don't understand it. Why did you bring pavers?" Like, I thought it was funny. You've got to shift in your thinking of money, because if you don't shift in your thinking of money, what you're going to go after is going, how do I increase my bank balance, rather than what are the significant changes I need to make in my life and behavior so that I can move. And so there are three principles that I want to pick up on that build from where Dom was over the course of this morning. And here's the first one. If you're doing notes, write it down. It says three. That's not a mistake, because one and two. One, spend time with Jesus. Two, sort out your tithe. Bring your first fruits. Here's number three. Before you find wealth, you got to find health. Before you find wealth, you need to find health. Money will only ever amplify what already exists inside of you. You got to hear this, because if you are a jerk and you get money, you will be a massive jerk. If you are generous when you get money, you will be massively generous. If you are happy when you get money, you will be very happy. But if you are sad when you get money, you will be very, very sad. You got to get your head around this. If you are insecure, I could give you 50 million pounds. All it will do is amplify your insecurity. You've got to find health before you find wealth. Are you actually happy right now? Because if you aren't, you got to get in time with Jesus and let him shift you in your heart and begin to produce happiness. Because that bitterness that grows in you will only be amplified when you got money. It will only get amplified when you got money. If you are not content with what you have right now, $100 million, winning that fancy house. Did everybody, you know, the 30 pound, I'm going after the 10 million pound house that was in the Echo, and then nobody won it, and those people walked away going, "We've made $1 million, suckers." You remember that thing? You could win that, but if you aren't content in the little one-bedroom flat you're stuck in right now, I'm telling you now, that thing will not make you content. You will be discontent with that. You have to begin to look at this and go, way before I worry about wealth, I need to worry about health. That may make you angry, and I'm okay with that, because you should get angry. Because it means that if you are not healthy now in the little you may have, no matter how much you have, you will always be unhealthy. And I don't know about you, but I do not want to live that way. I do not want to think that there is something better around the corner as long as I increase my bank balance, because there isn't. All that money will do is amplify what's already inside you. It will. So you got to get healthy before you get wealthy. You've got to get secure in who you are in Jesus. Because if you don't, you'll honestly think, my money makes me secure. It doesn't. You'll still be insecure. And unless you go to war over this, unless you start to fight for this in your life, I'm telling you now, nobody else will. And you know how I know? Because every advert you watch says the same thing to you. As long as you're unhappy, as long as you're discontent, as long as you're insecure, we can tell you how to solve this. Buy more, get more, loan more, and achieve more, and you will then find the things you're looking for. And if this was true, the United Kingdom would look very different to what it does. Man, if this was true, your life would look very different to what it does. This is not true. The truth is simple. Find health now. Find health now. And for most of us, I include myself in this, the pursuit for finance is to mask the unhealthiness that exists in us. It does. And then we're surprised when there's no resolve. A bigger paycheck, a better job, a nicer house, better cars, nicer phones, better schools for my kids. Why am I still unhappy? I don't understand. Man. Because the blessed life that Dom was talking about last week isn't where we walk around going, I've just got millions and millions, I'm so blessed. It walks around with us going, I am so happy. In staff, I've referred to this area in us, which I call our me-me spot. I need to explain that so it doesn't sound really shifty. There's the me that you see. But beyond that, there's the me-me. The me-me is the me only I get to see and you don't get to see. You see, you've got your me, but then you've also got your me-me. Is everybody with me on the me-me? No one should tweet, Richard said, I need to get happy in my me-me spot. It's not a good tweet. It's not a good tweet. But what I'm telling you is you need to get happy in your me-me spot. In the me-me, you've got to get happy in your me-me spot. In the me-me, in the me-me, the me-me, I need to get happy. I need to get happy. This is what God wants to do. Because when I'm happy in the me-me, when God begins to go now, as you live the blessed life, because being happy in your me-me is the blessed life, I will begin to pour into you everything else. And it's from this happy me-me that we'll all emulate. And I'll go, God, I am already happy. So what do you want me to do with it? What do you want me to do? I'm happy to do it. The Bible says it better than I do. This is what it says. 1 Timothy 6:9. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. I don't know if you see it, but it's right there. You see, those who want to get rich fall into, before you get wealth, you need to get health. George Foreman, who makes an awesome grill, great for cooking, amazing meats on, and also on the side was a boxer, if you didn't know. George Foreman said this. He said, before I met God, my attitude was about as bad as it could get. Even when everything was going well for me, I couldn't see it. I didn't appreciate it. When Muhammad Ali fought me for the heavyweight championship, I received a $5 million paycheck. Just think about that for a moment. One fight, get hit up a little bit by somebody else wearing gloves, $5 million. He said the purse was an astronomical amount of money in those days and would probably be worth many times more that amount today in dollars. No fighter had ever been so well paid in the history of boxing. So you'd think that being a multimillionaire would bring instant joy to my soul. It didn't. Because I lost the boxing match. I couldn't enjoy my money. I had $5 million in the bank, but I couldn't find pleasure in even one penny of it. I chose to see the worst in my situation, and my stomach was tied up in knots as a result. My sour attitude caused me to sink into deep depression, even though I was filthy rich. $5 million could buy me anything I wanted except happiness. You've got to get health before you get wealth. In 1 Timothy 6:6, it says, Godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Principle 2, or 4 actually. You need to have had enough to get enough. There are times in my lives with my children when they do things or they tell me things where I need them to say sorry. But then there are times when I don't need them to say sorry. I need them to say, I will no longer live this way. I have had enough. There are times in your life when you need to go before God and you need to say sorry. And then there are times when you need to look at God and say, I will no longer live this way. I've had enough. And you should start to get angry. You should start to get angry. In Proverbs 22, this verse has been haunting me for maybe a year now. It says this, the rich rule over the poor, and we live in a world where that's obvious. But look at the next little line. And the borrower is slave to the lender. The borrower is slave to the lender. You must get out of debt. Hear me. You must get out of debt. There is no such thing as good debt. And I'm going to go quite hard over this in the next few minutes. And if it offends you, I'm sorry. But I'm not going to take my foot off the gas on this because we have to get our heads around this. At some point, you have to say, I've had enough to get enough. You see, at every point, the Bible tells us this one truth. And the truth is simply this, a borrower is slave to the lender. You can sing your heart out going, I am free, free, forever I'm free. And I'm telling you, you are a slave to the lender. Because a borrower is always a slave to a lender. An overdraft is debt. It's debt. An overdraft is not free money that the bank is giving you because they think you're nice. It is debt. And you got to get out of debt. Taking out loans to buy things is debt. And you've got to get out of debt. Because if you don't get out of debt, you can never be generous. Debt is the enemy of generosity. Debt is what holds us back from being able to give people in need. You could sit at church next to a single mom who is crying because she cannot afford to fix her car. And because you're in debt, what you can't do is respond to the push of God in your life to say, do not worry, I will pay for you to get it fixed. I can't do it, God. I can't afford it because I've got to pay the lender, the lender, the lender, and I am a slave to them. This should make you angry because if you don't get angry, you will never change this. You need to get sick and tired of being in debt, and then you need to begin to go, I must change my life to get out of it. You've got to go after this thing. You want to see God do things in your life. You want to see God call you to the amazing, extraordinary things. Do you know what will hold you back? Debt. I can't leave to go to Africa, God. I can't leave to go to America like Hattie because I'm in debt. I am a slave to where I am. And at some point, you need to get up and you need to go, I have had enough. Debt is not sin. It isn't sin. But it is the only thing that repeatedly God calls people a fool on. God doesn't look at you and go, you are in sin for being in debt. Do you want to know what he says? You are dumb. You are. I am. Because this stops everything God wants to do in and through us. And we got to get sick and tired of our debt. And we've got to say enough is enough. I am going to change the way I live. The Bible says this: everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. And your debt is not beneficial. It holds you back from everything God's wanting to do for you. Haven't you had enough of never being able to give as you want? Of never being able to live like you should? Of never being able to know all the freedom you can? Haven't you had enough of struggling and worrying and fighting about this thing? Haven't you had enough of this stronghold existing in your life? If, like me, you have had enough, because I have had enough of this thing about it, it is time for you to say, I will no longer be a slave to this master. There is only one master that I serve. And now what I'm going to do is I am going to receive and put in place practices that will move me into the blessed life that God is calling me to. If this means only eating pasta for the next 2 years, only eat pasta for the next 2 years, but go for me and my family, we will no longer be a slave to this thing. We won't be, because we want to release everything God has in store for us. Everything. You've got to get angry over this thing, because when my little boy or little girl is being bullied at school, I don't need them to be sorry. I need them to go, I've had enough. I will no longer be held down by this. You need to begin to fight. And let me tell you, it's a fight to get out of this thing. You've got to fight to get out of your debt. You've got to make the moves, make the shifts, do the lifestyle changes. Remember, money isn't about the actual notes. It's about lifestyle and behavior. And for those of you who go, I'm too old to do this, change, because you need to change the legacy you're handing on to your children and the next generation. So change anyway. For those of you who are young, get good in this thing now, so you don't end up where many people do, going, I wish I could go back and do it all again, because I would do things so very differently. Man, you should be getting angry, because this thing is killing you. It is holding you back. One of the number one causes of divorce in the UK, debt, money. The biggest fights people have in their marriage, money. The biggest cause of anxiety, money. Debt. You have to go to war over this thing in your own life. You've got to. You've got to. You've got to. I do not believe that God wants you or me to live this way. He has a better way. But getting from here to where he's asking us, some hard work lies ahead. This won't happen tomorrow, and this won't happen next week. For some of you to get out of debt, you're looking at 5 years of hard, hard, hard work. Go to war in it today. Say today, I've had enough. Because to have enough, you need to say, I've had enough. I am no longer a slave. There's an old evangelist called Billy Sunday, who was very colorful, some would say. And in speaking about sin, he said this thing. He said, I am against sin. I will kick it as long as I've got a foot. I'll fight it as long as I've got a fist. I'll butt it as long as I have a head. And I'll bite it as long as I've got a tooth. And when I'm old, fistless, footeth and tootheth, I will gum it till I get home to glory. We need that when it comes to debt. I will kick it, I will punch it, I will headbutt it, and I will fight it and bite it. And when I've lost my fist, my foot, my head, and my teeth, I will gum it until it is gone from my life so I can move into the freedom that God calls me to. He desires for me, puts into me. You've got to at some point get angry and say, I have had enough, if you want to get enough. Principle 5. Empty your store to get more. Being frugal isn't godly. Frugality isn't godly. I don't know at what point in church, but I know that myself included, at some point I started to believe that being frugal was being godly. I don't know when, but I know I just did. At some point, I started to think that if I was tight with my money and frugal with it, I was a good steward. And so a while ago, I thought, I want to see this in the Bible. Of course, I believe it, and I don't know why. And here's my problem. I can't find it. I just can't find it. What I did find was something different. That good stewardship of money is when we become extravagantly generous. What is good steward of my money? Extravagant generosity. What's good stewardship of your money? Extravagant generosity. This is how God wants us to use our money. God isn't going to pour blessing into your life simply to give you a better life. And please hear me, I do not believe it is a bad thing to enjoy what God gives you. I actually think it's a great thing and an amazing thing. But as God pours blessing into your life, it's not really for you alone. It is so you can be more and more extravagantly generous. God gives it to you so you can give it away. If you took an apple seed, in that one seed is an entire orchard. You see, this one seed, when I sow it, a tree will grow from it. And in that tree, if I sow all of those apple seeds, 1,000, 100,000, I don't know, trees would grow. And this one seed inside of it has an orchard. But here's the key. If I want more seed, I need to get rid of the seed. I can't get more seeds from a tree to grow more trees until I take the seed I've got and give it out. And as I give it out, more things start to grow. And then I get more seeds. But here's the crazy thing, is I only, not only do I get more seeds, I also get apples. But I take the seeds that have come, and if I want more seeds, do you know what I need to do? Get rid of them. And then I go and take the harvest from those seeds, and now I've got even more apples, and I've got more seeds. You see, if you don't empty your store, you'll never get more. God wants you to become a person who is extravagantly generous, who is quick to give. Quick to give. By the way, if you don't go to war against your debt, this is really hard. It really is. But this is God's desire. This is God saying, you want good stewardship of your money? Empty your store. Empty your store. That's good stewardship. Give more. Give more. Give more. And when you've given as much as you can, do you know what you should do? Give more. Because as you empty out your store, God goes, I'll now fill it with even more. And as you empty out your store, God goes, you know what I'm going to do now? I'm going to fill it with even more. Ironically, in the Bible, this is one of the areas God says, if you don't think it's true, test me in this and see what happens. He doesn't say it often, but he goes, test me in this. Empty your store so that you can get more. Because good stewardship of your finances looks like extravagant generosity. You should be the most generous person in whatever sphere you move in. At your work, you should be the most generous person. Why? I'm emptying my store. Sunny Hill, when we see homeless people, should be going, we don't really even know what you're going to do with this money. It's not our call. We're just being extravagantly generous. It's what God calls us to. We're giving out, and we're giving out, and we're giving out. What? Oh, I love what God's doing in this church. I'm going to be extravagantly generous. Give it out. Hattie's going off to America. Hey, Hattie. Here we go. Love what you're doing. Love what God's doing. Can't wait to hear the story. Extravagant generosity. Helen and Ollie, amazing. What? You guys are in 7 countries doing all these things, impacting how young people, children, are discovering and finding God. Man, that's amazing. Amazing. Extravagant generosity. I know this wasn't real. Did you not just hear point two? Did you come like this? Like, amazing. Like, why would we not want to be those people? I don't understand. Because this is good stewardship of our money. It's good stewardship of our money. And so we can talk about how to budget and stuff you could do to help you get out of debt. And we need to talk about that, but we're not going to do it today. Because I think these 3 principles, if you start to actually put them in your life, and you take the other two that God, that Dom threw at you, and you put them in your life, it will change who you are. Not your money, it will change who you are. And that will change your money. But I know this. These are one of those areas where we don't need to come to God and go, God, I'm so sorry. These are one of those areas where what we need to do is come to God. And we need to go, I am getting angry. I have had enough. You need to start to get angry. You need to get angry. When I was preparing this, I've done about 50 different versions on ending the sermon. I'm going to invite the band back up. It'd be cool. We got like 50 different versions of endings to the sermon. I couldn't find one. And if you've got questions over what I'm saying, please text in to 01202-805-683, 01202-805-683. We'll shove a video together just to answer some of those questions later on this month. And in a couple of weeks' time, we will have a Q&A evening over money and stuff. But as I was spending time prepping this and praying about this, where I landed in my prep, and I wanted to like end on something hopeful, and God said, no, you shouldn't do that. Not that he doesn't want to give you hope, because he does. But what I felt was that we need to end by making a declaration into our lives that we'll no longer live this way. That we need to end by prophetically starting to speak out a future into our lives that will free us from this thing. Because I honestly believe that this is one of those things in our lives that if we don't go hard over, we'll be in this conversation for the next 10 years. But there are moments where God can break in and do something and change the whole course and run of how you live, that the 5 years ahead of you will look at and go, that was a defining moment in my life. And even though it was hard to get here, I am so thankful for that moment. And so I'm going to invite you to stand where you are. And I don't know what your situation is financially. I don't know if you have plenty or if you have lack. I don't know if you're saying, Richard, I am in 1,000 pound debt, 10,000 pound debt. Richard, I am in so much debt, I won't even look at my bank account because it hurts too much. I don't know where you're at. I don't know if in your family you go, me and my husband, me and my wife fight about this all the time because we are in a hole. But what I do know right now is that there is a moment where you can begin to look at God and say, God, here I am. I've had enough. I will no longer live my life this way. I will live my life in a new way. From herein, I will begin to take all of the steps I need to take. I will begin to put into practice everything I need to put into practice so that I can begin to move into the blessed life you have for me. There is a moment where prophetically right now you can break a chain. The Bible tells us that when we come together, Jesus is amongst us. And because Jesus is in us, when we begin to say certain things with our mouths, it unlocks something in heaven to issue in as a reality. And so right now, I'm going to start to encourage you out loud. Don't care about the people around you, because when you're angry, you don't care about the people around you. You go all in when you're angry. You begin to scream when you're angry. You begin to move when you're angry. You need to begin to just go all in right now. You need to start to just declare out to God that you've had enough. You need to go to war right now over this thing so that in this moment, as you going in the name of Jesus, I come against this in my life, something breaks in the heavens and something new works out in your life. And here's the thing, I can't do it for you. As for me and my family, we won't live this way anymore. We won't. I can't talk for yours. I can't talk for you. But you've got an opportunity now to come before God with the presence of all of these other people here who are standing around in the same place you are, feeling the same things you are, and say, I am declaring a new way over my life. And so I would encourage you right now to talk out a new future, one that is debt-free. Speak it out loud. Go to war over this and get angry right now. Go for it. Don't care what the people around you think. You've got to go to war over this. God, right now, I come against the spirit of debt that I get stuck into. And I break it in the name of Jesus. I break it in my life. And I unlock in the heavens some new way to live. A new resolve deep inside of me to see you move and shift and change and do something new. I begin to call it a new freedom into my life. This way, I will no longer. And so right now, God, in this place, I come against the spirit of poverty, this poverty mindset, this issue of lack that holds us back. I speak against it. In the name of Jesus, I come and break that in Sunny Hill. And I declare, come and release, come and release, come and release the blessed life into us, God. We are prepared to do those things we need to do to get out of debt. Come and release the blessed life. We are prepared to give the seeds you sow into us. Come and release. In the name of Jesus, come and release us so that from this place, when we walk out of this place, we will be angry as we fight for our freedom. The freedom you're calling us to. The freedom you're calling us to. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come, God. I have had enough. I don't want to fight about this anymore. I don't want to live like this anymore. I don't want to be this anymore. In the name of Jesus, come and break the cycle in us. There are It's a little boy with his dad at home, and the dad put the little boy to bed. And as the dad put the little boy to bed, a fire broke out. And it was so bad, the dad ran outside. And when he got outside, he realized his little boy was stuck in the building. And he screamed at the little boy, "Get up! Climb up onto the roof!" And where he was standing, he could just see the silhouette of his little boy on the roof. The little boy was screaming, "Dad, Dad, I need you. Daddy, help me. Help me. I don't know if I can do this. I don't know what to do. I don't know if I can make this. Help me. Help me. Help me." And the dad said, "Jump. Jump. Jump." And the little boy said, I can't see you. I can't see you." And his dad looked up and said, "It's okay. Because I can see you, so jump. 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 Change. Change your life today. Change your life. Start living differently today. God sees you. He's got you. It'll be okay. Change. Get out of debt. Get out of this thing. Change. Change.